Acts chapter 1 this morning. You know about, know anyone in your life that's struggling? That needs the Lord? I think that should be all. I hope that's the prayer of each one of our hearts, that the Lord would give us a passion for souls. I went to the discipleship seminar on Wednesday and Thursday this week, and I was sharing with the deacons this morning the whole idea of discipleship. But how did Jesus disciple? Did he take him over to a church classroom and sit down with him with a lesson book? And it was day by day, walking with them, talking with them, teaching them life lessons. One of the things I learned from the discipleship seminar this week is discipleship is living a life alongside someone. And this morning I want to look at the fact that we have a commission. And really it's an encouraging commission that we have, because God has given us a reason to be here. God has given us a purpose. And I want to look at that this morning. I hope you're encouraged by it and challenged by it. Acts chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons for which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you would encourage our hearts. Father, it was when you ascended back to your Father, you left us with a purpose. You left us with a command, with a responsibility that we were to fulfill. Father, help us to see that this morning. Help us to be encouraged that you have placed people all around us that open up doors of opportunity for us to share the gospel with and to teach and to encourage in your word. Father, I pray you would use me as a channel this morning, that your word would be accurate through what I say. Father, help me not to be a distraction from what needs to be said this morning. I pray that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. 4 years previous to this time, the men that are gathered here were fishermen, they were tax collectors, they were of other varied occupations. If you were to take them 4 years early and you said your life 4 years from now is going to be completely different, they might have laughed at you. But in the 3.5 years that they followed Jesus during his earthly ministry, something happened in their hearts to 11 of them. They had followed the very Son of God as he healed the sick, as he raised the dead, as he cast out demons, as he taught new teaching concerning the law, how the law was to bring us to Christ. He taught them many important truths about life. But the most important thing that he taught them was the reason that he came to this earth. Though they did not understand it at the time, he repeatedly told them that he would die, he would be buried, he would rise again the third day, and that one day he would ascend back to his Father. And as they watched the events unfold around the crucifixion, they scattered like sheep attacked by wolves. They just, whew, they were gone. They witnessed their leader being brutally beaten, mocked, and crucified. They watched him die an agonizing death on the cross, which probably caused a lot of questions in their minds, like, wait a minute, what's going on here? But something kept them together. They didn't quite understand it all, but neither were they ready to abandon it either. And here we see them, they're gathered in this room and possibly seeking comfort and support from one another, but perhaps they were hoping for answers. Maybe they say, wait a minute, guys, there's got to be something more to this. What's going on here? When Jesus comes and appears to them after the resurrection, they had reason to hope. I'm alive again, he says to them. It's me. And he appears to them. He spends 40 days with them, the Bible tells us. But what made the difference? They had heard Jesus' teaching. They saw him as the Lamb of God, according to John 1:29. They saw him as the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep, John 10, verse 11. They believed that he was the Son of God and that was come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. They received him as their Savior, according to John 17, 11, and 12. But their faith was shaken a little with all the events that had just taken place. Everything that Jesus said would happen has happened up to this point, and now he showed himself to them to stabilize their faith. Their face was a little shaky up to this point, but now he comes to them and he helps them say, guys, you're on the right track, but I have something I need to tell you. And Jesus spends 40 days with his disciples and with others, but now time has come for him to ascend back to the Father. But before he goes, he gives them a commission. He gives them an instruction or a command. He gives them a particular responsibility to fulfill. And so the first thing I want to look at this morning is the commission that he gave them. The commission that Jesus gave to his disciples is recorded in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. And I just want to take a couple minutes and look at each of those. Matthew chapter 28 is the first recording of that. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Brother Edmondson spoke on this last Sunday. Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Look at Mark 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. It says, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24, verses 45 to 48. It says, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Go to John 21. And we don't often think of this as the same great commission as we saw in the other passages, but I believe as you look at this and you think about the life of Christ, I think it's a commission here as well. John chapter 21, verse 22. Now, Peter had just questioned Christ. Said, Christ, what about John? What's going to happen to John? Jesus says in verse 22, Jesus saith unto them, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And what does Jesus tell Peter? Follow thou me. Is that not what the Great Commission is? Is that not what Jesus did when he was here on earth? He spread the gospel of Christ. He spread the gospel of salvation. He told what he came to do. He taught his disciples how to live. He said, Peter, follow me. Do what I have done. Do what I have exemplified before you. Follow me. And then we read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So what is the commission? Very simply, take the gospel to the world. Teach God's word. Live God's word. Do exactly what Christ did when he was on earth. The 3.5 years that Christ spent with his disciples was not just to teach them with words. The Bible tells us he was our example. He was living it before the disciples. He was living it out and showing us how we should live, how we should go, how we should disciple. We are to live our lives in such a way that others will be driven to Christ. What does that look like? How do we live our lives in a way that people will be pointed to Christ? Let me read some statements for you that describe the philosophies of our society today. I think all of you have heard these in one way or another. Rewrite the past to control the future. Use diversity to divide and destroy. Freedom of speech for me, but not for thee. Sell it as a noble cause. Sexualize the children. Capitalism is the disease. Socialism is the cure. Join with radical Islam to destroy America. Vilify, vilify, vilify. What has happened? I think society as a whole has abandoned truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy words are truth. Therefore, the problem is that God's word has been abandoned. And the focus has shifted off the gospel and off the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. But what has happened to our churches? I'm seeing this more and more, and it's sad to see this. But many churches that used to be fundamental in their doctrine have adopted socially acceptable standards in order to draw people in. The result is large groups of people in an atmosphere of watered-down preaching, worldly music, and lower standards of separation. If that's not the case, if that's not true of the church, then the church just sits back quietly and tries not to create waves by isolating themselves in their little worship place. But either way, the truth is still being stifled. The truth is not going out. What do we need to do? Well, I believe we need to get back to the fundamentals. We need to go back to what Christ taught in the scriptures. And the first thing we see here under their commission is to go. In Matthew 28:19, he says go ye therefore. We can pray that God would bring people to our church so we can share the gospel with them, and he has done that in the past. But I believe we're seeing that happen less and less. If we don't have a church that draws in the crowd through worldly music, if we don't have a worship team that leads everybody in group dancing, a feel-good message, and maybe even a coffee shop and snack bar between services, most people are more likely to stay home. Now, believe me, we're not going there. We're not going there. The truth is we have to take the gospel to people. The church is a place where believers are equipped. We looked at that in Ephesians chapter 4. The church is equipped, or the believers are equipped in the church. That's why God set up the church. But the workplace, the grocery store, the ball field, the fishing trip, the golf course, the sewing club, the barber shop, the hair salon, that's where the gospel is shared. This week, I had an amazing opportunity when a lady was twerking on my arm in physical therapy. And she stood there and she let me share with her probably the clearest gospel presentation she's had in her whole life. And it was great. So you can torque my arm all you want, as long as I get to share the gospel with you. And I was able to take my Bible, and at the end of therapy, I said, I know I'm taking up your time. I'm sorry. She said, oh, it's okay. And I was able to open with a Romans 3:23, and I said, read that verse. She read it. I said, what does that mean? Since we've all sinned, and every one of us can't get to God because of our sin. And I'd given our bridge track several weeks earlier. I said, remember that illustration where there's that great gulf? We can't get there on our own. I said, and I turned to Romans 6:23. I said, look at that verse. It says, for the wages of sin is death. I said, we all deserve to go to hell. We all deserve to die. I said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said, remember Alicia, where I said the only thing that can get us to God is Jesus Christ? it was great. And she says, I see it makes sense. So I just pray the Lord will work in her heart and bring it to himself soon. And I told her, I said, Alicia, I'm praying for you that you'd receive Christ. I'm praying for you. I just pray that the Lord will harvest her soon. But that's where we share the gospel. Do you know people that you come in contact regularly? I mean, we go to the grocery store, and there's times where we go to the grocery store and say, hey, and people say hi to us because they've seen our family in there before. Remember when we were out in Helena, we'd go to Costco like every week, and it was like we'd come in and say, where's the other two children? They knew our family. What an opportunity, and we had opportunities. We still keep in contact with some of those people. My daughter, Jennifer, befriended one of the young ladies that was giving out samples. We still have contact with her and able to encourage her spiritually. That's where we share the gospel. That's where we reach out for Christ. And if we look at where Jesus shared the gospel with people, it was usually not in the synagogue or in the temple. It was while he was going from one place to another. He was in the city streets. It was on a hillside. Remember what we said, when Jesus lived on earth, he was our example. John chapter 13, John chapter 13, verse 15. He has just washed the disciples' feet here, but he says in verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. He says, go on and follow my example. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk. How? Even as he walked. We're to walk just as Jesus walked on this earth. We're to obey and we're to do what he did. We're to exemplify what he did. And the ones that God intends for us to share the gospel with are the ones that we're in contact with as we live our daily lives. You know, we're all missionaries. We're all ambassadors. We're representing Christ to others. And so the first thing in our commission is to go. But the next part is to teach. Matthew 28, verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And not only are we to go and share the gospel, we're to teach the new believers. We can't leave them to fend for themselves any more than a parent would leave a newborn child to fend for themselves, to take care of themselves. We have to help them understand biblical truths. We have to equip them with principles they need to live a godly life. That's what Jesus did when he was here on earth with his disciples. What do we teach them? What did Christ teach his disciples? You go through the Gospels, you see he taught them about loving God and loving others, about helping those in need, about reaching out to the lost, about right relationships in the home and in the community, about dealing with conflict, about avoiding temptation, about proper worship of God, about being separated from the world's standards. It's not that we do these things to add to our salvation. Those aren't more notches in our belt or more ways to get us in a better position to heaven, no. We do them to accurately reflect Christ to others. And our lives are different by doing these things. So people say, why? Why do you do those things? Why is your life so different from mine? It's not me, it's Christ. It's what Christ has done. And so as believers, that commission applies to each one of us. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we become a part of God's family. But we also become a part of God's army. Remember when you're a little kid saying, I'm in the Lord's army? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. Saying that as kids. And the truth is, all of us are part of God's army. We are soldiers in his army, and we are commissioned to reach out to others with Christ and to teach others, to disciple others. That's our commission, to go, to teach. But then look at the ascension. I'm going to look at a couple passages. I'll turn to Mark chapter 16 again. Mark chapter 16. Verses 19 and 20. So Jesus had just given his disciples a commission. He says, men, this is what I need you to do. This is what I want you to do. This is your command going forward. Go and teach. In verse 19 of Mark 16, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 53. It says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continuing in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. They didn't sit on their hands. They didn't sit down and pout because now what do we do? Our leader's gone. No, he had commissioned them. He had given them something to do. And so they go and they immediately start preaching, start worshiping, start telling others about Christ. Acts chapter 1, look at verses 9 and 10 again. Acts 1, 9 and 10. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. See, Christ had commissioned his disciples. They were now called apostles because they had seen Christ. They had been sent out by Christ. But he also told them they were going to receive the enablement of the Holy Spirit. He says, guys, you're not left to do this alone. He says, I'm leaving. He says, my Father's going to send the Holy Spirit. And my Holy Spirit is going to enable you to do what I've given you the responsibility to do. In John chapter 16, verse 7, he talks about it. He says, guys, it's important. I have to go. I have to leave. If I don't leave, the Holy Spirit will not come. And if he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will teach you. He will guide you in your service for God. We see that in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 14. What a comfort that can be to us. In our own efforts, we fumble, we stumble, and we can't seem to get much done for the Lord. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the grace and the strength we need to accomplish God's best for us and to impact the lives of others. You see, as we allow ourselves to be, we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We allow him to fill us with God's word and with God's truth. We're equipped and we're able to go out and tell others. The Bible tells us that through Christ, though Christ is no longer present on this earth, he's no longer a physical body on this earth, he's still very active in our lives. He's interceding on our behalf to the Father. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus is still very active in our lives. He's up there saying, Father, they need this. Father, work in this way. Father, they're pleading for this. He's interceding for us. Look at Hebrews 9:24. Hebrews 9:24 says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. We're not left alone on this. God has given us commission, but his Holy Spirit is with us, and he's supporting us in heaven by interceding to the Father for us. As the disciples stand there watching Jesus ascend to heaven, these two men in white stand there and say, "Men, what are you doing? Why are you still looking up into heaven? It's just a gentle rebuke. Why are you continue looking up to heaven?" And they return to Jerusalem to carry on the message of the gospel. And when they understood the truth about Christ, what happened? It so impacted their lives, they committed the rest of their lives to it. And many of them, if not all of them, gave their lives as a martyr for Christ. Most of them did. But that's because the gospel so impacted their life. As believers, we too must commit ourselves to the work he has called us to do, not for our own glory, for God's glory, and that others might know Christ as well. As I said at the discipleship seminar this week, the main theme of it was one life to a life for life. And really, that's what Jesus came to do. His one life reached out to a life for life. And now Jesus is with believers for eternity. And that's what we're to do. As we meet somebody, as we build a relationship with them, and we have opportunity to share the gospel with them, they come to Christ. We're able to teach them through God's word and help them to grow in Christ, and we're growing at the same time. And what happens? That relationship develops, that relationship, and then they go out and they reach out to those in their sphere of influence, and they see somebody come to Christ, and they're able to encourage them and help them to grow in Christ. And what happens? It can explode. We hear missionaries say that, you know, how that it starts with one who will reach out to one, and those two then will take and reach out to two more. And it exponentially explodes if people just keep it growing and keep it going by obeying God's commission. We have a commission. We need to commit ourselves to the work he's called us to do, that others may know Christ as well. Let's pray. Father, you've made it very clear to us in your word. There's really no way we can miss it. You've given us a command to go, to share the gospel, and to teach new believers your word, your principles. Father, it's more than just following a discipleship manual. It's living a life before people that exemplifies what you did, exemplifies you. Father, help us to be encouraged as we go through this week and you open doors of opportunity for us that, hey, this is a great opportunity for me to show Christ to this person. Father, I pray that you would use us this week to point others to you. We thank you for what you will do. We thank you that you will be receiving the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.